February 9th, 2010.
I went to three different operations. This is really this doctor. There was such a still pain. He didn't listen to him. He went to Haiti. You know, he had no time to help out with the world. Went to Booth and they were
my battery was dead. So you uploaded?
Okay, sure.
So it flamed and she had a stone and they were put in and then that's plastic. They couldn't do it. They said I put a wire through it. They couldn't do it. But Columbia, then they wanted to go through a liver. So my son said they want to go through to Columbia.
It's good we have a few people in the bullpen.
So right, yeah. I don't know how to do it. So upload it. You upload it to him onto the YU website?
Yeah. I rarely do it. Usually he does
it. How long does it take?
Just a few minutes, and then I leave it for... My files are very big. I do something for a few minutes, and then I leave it for half an hour, and it does it the rest of itself.
Okay.
She was in and out. I met this thing. And I called the doctor and they said to his mind was not honest.
After the shoe, it's going to be at 10 o'clock. You still have 20 minutes to somebody who kept the room. For the song.
Right. I don't cry. I don't cry. I sit in the back of somebody else. I don't have a car.
Very simple. What do you mean for Israel?
Tomorrow night. Middle of the blizzard. We'll see. I may not leave.
Next week.
I'm supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. If I leave tomorrow night, even if I don't leave tomorrow, Israel, yeah. For a week, for a full week. Right.
Stay in a hurry. Broad shoulders.
Okay. So. Last week we left off on Mem Gimel Amid Beis. Towards the bottom on Mem Gimel Amid Beis. Mr. Danny Laufer, who participates in the shiur all the years, says he has yahrzeit today for his mother, Aleha HaShalom. So we dedicate the learning L'Zecha Nishmas Moris Freidel Bas Meshulam. So we had the Gemara's quoting a series of memories. Rabbi Yochanan was the first generation of Amoraim. He was the Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Anasi. There was a Tana, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv, who lived way before him. He never saw Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv. So the Gemara usually have, let's say, Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar Rab, Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar Shmuel. Means if Rabbi Yudah says, I heard it from Rab, Rabbi Yudah says, I heard it from Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lezer was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. I heard it from Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever it says Mishum, means that he didn't hear from him directly. Here it says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv. Says in the name, he has a tradition, the name of Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv, he didn't hear directly from him. So the Gemara has a series of memories, I think that's where we left off last week. The Gemara has a series of memories in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv. So I think we're about 10, 15 lines from the bottom. Let's see. Kiyosa Rabdimi, when Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, in Bavel, the Talmud Babli, how did they ever know anything that Rabbi Yochanan said? They didn't have a fax machine. They didn't have a telephone. So they had Amoraim who would travel back and forth. So Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he says over, Kiyosa Rabdimi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. He heard directly from Rabbi Yochanan, who did not hear directly from Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv. He heard B'Shem. He heard the following din by the tiny letter Ches. Yalda Pchusa Mitefach Yalda Neskena. When you plant the tree in Eretz Yisrael or anywhere in the world, so the first 3 years, sometimes pears will not grow. Any pears that grow in the first 3 years are orlot, salsabachi, losmano. Whatever pears grow the fourth year is not the revai. So you can only eat it if you bring it to Yerushalayim, and if you want to eat it chutz Yerushalayim, you have to be paid the dafkan kesef. You can't be paid on shove kesef, you have to be paid the dafkan kesef. That's one of the few halachas. There are only three dinim where shove kesef is not kesef. So that's one of them. Pinyin maisesheni and pinyin net the revai. You need dafke kesef. So he says, what if you have a yaldo, you have a tree that you planted, and the pears grow the first 3 years, a zarlo, and the tree is already 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old. Yalda Prusami Tefach. It's a midget. It never grew taller than a tefach. It's so close to the ground. It looks like a baby tree. It's a dwarf. It doesn't look like it's 5 years old. So it's a marisayin issue. So he has a chiddush. Chayev is barla kol shnei seho. The whole lifetime of the tree, it's also b'achila, also b'hano. It has a din of orla yod and void. Why? Marisayin, the mischaz yoke bashata. It looks like it's only 1 year old. Bashata means within the first year. Then the Gemara says, v'hani mili, that's only when is that? When do you have this marisayin? If you have one little tree like that. You have a couple of trees. Rashi has a whole comment over here. There is a din of Orlo and a din of Kerem Evai. Orlo is the first 3 years. The Peres Arasa Bachila Bahano is called Orlo. And Revai is the Shana Harvi, is the fourth year. You have to bring it to Rishalayim to eat it, or you paid it, and then you bring the money to Rishalayim to buy food with the money. And once you paid in the netter revai, then you can eat it in the chutzlords. So the Gemara has a machloikis in Brochus Daf Lamed Hey, machloikis Amoraim. What is the correct girsa in all the Mishnayis in Orlo? Should it say netter revai or should it say kerem revai? If it says kerem revai, so the word kerem means grapes, then it only applies to grapes. If it says netta revai, so netta sounds like any netia, any tree. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that this machloek has only been a get to revive the pears that grow the fourth year. The first 3 years it says beforeish in the chumash ki savoy al haaretz when a taitim kol eitz meichel bar altman losa kol eitz meichel means any and every tree that's a fruit bearing tree. If you have a tree, a mahogany tree that just has wood that no one eats it, so there's no din of arlo, there's no din of revive. The whole din only applies to a taitim kol eitz meichel, but it says ki savoy losa a taitim kol eitz meichel, any and every tree. So the Pashto says that Orlo, the first 3 years, applies to any tree. Machlokes and Brachos is, what is the story with the fourth year? Does the fourth year also apply to any and every tree? Or should you say, no, it's only on Kerem. Maybe it's only Kerem Abai. That's Machlokes. So we mentioned last week that the Baal Hamor in Brachos, on that Gemara, Daf Lamed Hey, quotes this Rashi. You see, on both sides is Rashi over here. The right side, because we don't have any more Tesis. Tesis conked out on the previous Daf. I'm a base. They don't have any more kisvei yad. Other svarim quote the Be'er Sheva quotes the missing tesis towards the end of the Masechta, but the printer who printed the Gemara didn't have the rest of the tesis. So Rashi has both columns of Rashi. So on the left column on the Omer, that's the inner column where Rashi normally is. You have in parentheses it says Brachas Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Right in the middle of the column of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. It says in parentheses, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. So Rashi is referring to that Gemara. And the Baal Hamor and Brachos points out this Rashi, Rashi Beferish. And Baal Hamor agrees with this funny Rashi, that if the Machloikis over there in Brachos, where the Kerem Revai Tanan or Netter Revai Tanan, what is the correct Girsa in the Mishnayis, should it say Kerem, should it say Netta, is not only with respect to the Peres the fourth year, with respect to the Peres the first 3 years, the Din of Orla. It says black on white. When the Titan collates Michael, I don't know. So, we ignore the pasuk, even though the pasuk says any fruit-bearing tree. One opinion in Gemara is only care. So that's one chiddush that Rashi has. Then chiddush on top of a chiddush is that Rashi understands if you hold it, it's only kerem. Not only do we restrict the laws of Orla and Revai to grapes, as opposed to orange trees and grapefruit trees and pear trees and all the other peach trees. We only apply it to kerem. Kerem means a whole vineyard. What's the minimum number of vines that you need? So he says, that's this Gemara, five, in such an arrangement. Shtaim keneged shtaim, such a configuration. Shtaim keneged shtaim, v'chamisha siyotzes onav, like the diagram in the Rashi on the Mishnah. Amem gimel amud aleph, you have the five stars there. So you have four stars in the four corners, and then you have a fifth tree over there. So Rashi learns in our Gemara, in order to have the din of Orla, this opinion in Gemara, it only applies if you have five trees and such a configuration. So then you have the, if it's such a midget tree that it grows so low, Kol Shnei Seho, it's already 10 years old and it's only a tefach tall, so it's a Maris Hain. It looks like it's within Bashtato. Looks as if it's still within the first year. So even 10 years after you plant it, it's still going to have a din of Arlam.
Like the Japanese bonsai tree. Yeah. Right?
This is that a bonsai?
Okay. So he says... Okay, so he says if you have a very short tree, it's going to be a marisign unless you have a whole field like that. The whole field grows like that. So everybody knows that's... They'll know that it's a possibility. There won't be any marisign. They know it's a possibility that it's past the first 3 years. But if it's only the bare minimum, you only have one, so Rashi says the reason why the Gemara doesn't say one or two, because the Gemara is working with the opinion that one or two, you wouldn't have the din of Arla, because you only have Arla if it's Kerem, and Kerem means two things. Kerem means it has to be grapes, and Kerem has to be a minimum of five. If you don't have five in this configuration, Shtaim Keneged Shtaim, Lechamishas, Yotzei Zonim, Zonim means sticking out like a triangular shape, like in the diagram of Rashi and the Mishnah.
According to the other Shita, would you have any number? I mean, it's not Kerem, it's Netta.
We usually assume there's no number. No, we usually assume there's no number. In Shulchan Aruch, this opinion is only quoted like this. We assume the din of Orla is an exception to the rule. It even applies in Chutzlars. The Mishnah, in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, has a rule that all the mitzvahs, Hatoyis Boretz, all the agricultural mitzvahs, that says Trumas and Maisin, Shemitah, V'yoyvon, Aleket, Shikram, Pem, Peret, and Orla, so all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't apply in Chutzlars. And then the Mishnah gives a few exceptions to the rule. So one of them is Orla. So the Rishonim have a machlokes, is that only Orla? Halacha Moshe Misinai. The Gemara says, Halacha Moshe Misinai, Orla apply. Because in Chumash it says, Kisavoy al Haaretz. In Parashas Kedoshim, when you come to Eretz Yisrael. So it's only Halacha Moshe Misinai. Chutz Loretz and the Dinam are slightly less strict as in Eretz Yisrael. A Safik Orla would be Lechumer. Chutz Loretz and Safik Orla is Lekula. Fine. So the Shulchan Aruch has like this. The pears that grow the first 3 years are Orla, even if it's an orange tree, a pear tree, an apple tree, doesn't matter. Any pears that grow the first 3 years are Orla. What about the pears that grow the fourth year? Does Revai apply or not? So that was Amachlekes Hatanoim, where the Revai only applies to Kerem or to Netta. Not like Rashi, the Machleke was even on Orla. We don't accept this Rashi with the Balamor. We follow the Chumash. Chumash says Kisavoy and the Titan Kolaitz Machel. Any fruit-bearing tree is subject to the din of Arla. We don't accept Rashi. But on the fourth year, there is a Machlekes Hatanoim. So in Eretz Yisrael, we're Machmir. Like the opinion that the din of Revai applies to Netta Revai, to all trees. But in Chutzlars, we have a rule. Kolam Mekel Baretz, Halacha Kemasa B'Chutzlars. When it comes to Arla B'Chutzlars, any Safek Arla is Mutter. So not only a Safek Arla, I have a tree, and I bought a home from the previous Balabas, from Agoy, and I don't know when he planted the tree. He doesn't remember when he planted. He doesn't have any documents. He doesn't care. For me, it's an afkamina. If it's within the first 3 years, it's Orla. After the first 3 years, it's not Orla. So whenever you don't know, you go to Hakel, and you don't even have to ask too many questions. Usually a Safek, let's say a Safek the Rabbana Lakula. First, you have to try to ascertain what are the facts. Here, Safek Olam Chutz, you don't have to ask any questions. Whenever you don't know for sure, so Gateman Shain Lohakam. Maybe Safek Mamzer are also like that, could well be. It's a strange dinam that Safek Arla B'chutz Lohakam is Lohakam, even a Safek Shev Shalavar Bekal. You're not Mukhayev to ask any questions, a Safek is Lohukula. So not only a Safek in Mitzias, I don't know when he planted the tree, and it could be it's after the first 3 years, could be not. Even a Safek in Din, and not only a Safek in Din, a 50-50 machlaikas, even it's a Safek in Din that's lopsided. 95% of the Tanaim hold one way and 5% hold the other way. And in Eretz Yisrael, we're machmer like the 95%. When it comes to Chutz La'aretz, because there's a 5% opinion, Lehokel, that's called the Safek Arla B'Chutz La'aretz. Even though it's only a Safek Koldahu, that's what the Ran explains in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak. Safek Arla B'Chutz La'aretz is Lehokel, a Safek Koldahu. Safek Koldahu, it's a Safek Shev Shalavar Bekal. I can easily ascertain. Doesn't matter. Safek Koldahu. And it's only Safek and Machlekes and Din, and it's a lopsided split. It's 95-5. Also, Kalamekel Baretz, Halacha Kamasa B'Chutz La'aretz. Whenever there's any opinion, Lohakel, so you go Lohakel. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote it like this. If you plant a tree in Chutz La'aretz, an orange tree, a pear tree, the first 3 years is Arla. That's a Pasuk in Chumash. Kalaitz Michael. That's not a Machlekes. But if you, or net the Revai B'Chutz La'aretz, that's a Machlekes HaRishayim. Because the Gemara never said beferish what the din. The Gemara just says, Arla b'chutz l'artz. What's the din of netter revai? So that's a big machloikis. So Tosfos holds that revai b'chutz l'artz is an extension of Arla. Arla is not only for 3 years, Arla is 4 years. The first 3 years there's no heter, and the fourth year there's a heter pidyon. But it's part of the din of Arla. And the Rambam has a big fuss about it, and he says it's just not so. Arla is Arla, netter revai is netter revai, and halacha l'moshe misina of Arla b'chutz l'artz only applies to Arla. The first 3 years doesn't apply to netter revai. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's one opinion of chutz l'artz, you go l'hakel, kol ha-mekel baris halacha g'masa b'chutz l'artz. Since it's a suffix, Arla, machlek is the Rambam and Tosfos. Some say, you go l'hakel like the Rambam. The whole din of revai doesn't apply at all. So in Shulchan Aruch, they don't accept that opinion. They say you can be mekel within revai, that there was a machlekes, but the kerem revai, and that the revai, is it only restricted to grapes, or does it apply even to peach trees? So that machlekes, they're prepared to be mekel. Orla applies to all trees, so the first 3 years in chutz la'aretz also, but revai, you can be mekel in chutz la'aretz, that it only applies to grapes. And then Rabbi Kivega says, only applies to grapes if you have five in such a configuration, because it has to be called the kerem. If it doesn't have to be called a kerem, even a netta. So one tree is a netta. But if you say only kerem revai tana, not netta revai, so kerem means, has two connotations. Number one, only grapes, as opposed to peach tree. And number two, with five, a minimum of five in such a configuration.
That's Yisrael, though. There is no... Are there any kuras at all?
No. We follow the opinion that netta revai. All trees.
All fruit trees, they just sort of have the din of revai.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Only a chutz l'artz, the Shulchan Aruch is mekel. I remember I was once giving, we were once discussing this in Yeshiva, we were learning Kiddushin, so on the first daf in Kiddushin, Tosfos presents their opinion, a big, fat Tosfos. Tosfos holds that Revai does apply a chutz l'artz, and the Rambam holds that Revai does not apply, so when you learn the first daf in Kiddushin, everybody discusses. So this was years ago. So we used to have, there was a balabas in the neighborhood from Breuer's community who retired. He was a very frum balabas, and the day that he retired, he started coming to shir. He was 65 years old, and he used to learn b'chavrusa with a 17-year-old bacha. He came for years, till it was too difficult to him to climb up the hill, and then he started learning in Breuer's Beis Medrash. So he was an expert in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So whenever I would give a shir, and it said in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, not so. He didn't know what it said in Tosfos somewhere, and in Gemara somewhere that he didn't know, but Kitzur Shulchan Aruch he knew very well. So whenever I would say something, he would say, but Rabbi Shechter, it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Natsa. So I remember on this also. I remember he said, I said in Shulchan Aruch, there's such an opinion that it only applies to grapes, and only applies if you have five, but he told me, Rabbi Shechter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says Natsa. It says that the Revai applies in Chutz La'aretz to all trees. Even the peach tree, you got to be part of the peach tree in the fourth year. Okay, different opinions. But the big Shulchan Aruch quotes this Kula, that kol ha-mekel baretz halacha k'maaseh b'chutz la'aretz. That's called the Suffolk Arla.
So why is there Arla by a regular tree in chutz la'aretz? If there's a
machlokes
that...
The machlokes is Rashi and the Balamor hold that there was an opinion that Arla is restricted only to grapes. So that Rashi and the Balamor we have totally rejected. We hold it's mamash wrong because it's against the pasuk. Yeah, we hold that he made a mistake. We hold Rashi and the Balamor made a mistake. Balamor quotes Rashi. He said, Rashi and Masecha Saita, Perak Mashuch Mocham. So we hold that that's Mamash a mistake. That says in the Chumash, when a Taitim Kolaitz Maicham. So that opinion, we don't even consider that a Safik Koldu. We hold that Rashi made a mistake over here. But regarding Revai, that's considered a legitimate Machlokes in the Gemara, in Brochas Daf Lamed Hei, where the Revai is only Kerem Revai or Neta Revai. So there in Chutz La'aretz, there's room to be Mekel.
If I remember correctly, you could also feed Arla to someone in Chutz La'aretz if they don't know that it's Arla.
If he doesn't know it's Arla. Yeah.
And they don't.
That's how the Gemara says, I have a tree that's Arla, and I invite you to eat in my home, so I can put on the plate, there's no Isa lifnei l'sita michshol, because since you don't know that it's Arla, so it's mutter for you to eat it. So if it's mutter for you to eat it, so there's no lifnei iver. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, the Amoraim used to invite each other, Sashad, the Hefzid, I have an Arla tree, so I should throw it out in the garbage. Why should you throw it out? So I should feed it to another Jew who doesn't know that it's Arla. And Chutz La'aretz, no, Chutz La'aretz. Arla, Sheni Yadua, is Mutter. That's the din. Suffolk Arla, but Chutz La'aretz is Mutter means Arla, Sheni Yadua, is Mutter. The Yadiyah So Iser is a condition in the Iser. If you don't know that it's Asa, a Mashal Ma'ad David Daiman, Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Chana Vasim gives this Mashal. Mashal Ma'ad David Daiman, Shulchan Aruch, it says, let's say, the doctor is going to a wedding tonight, and he's picking up one of the neighbors. He's going to drive him to a wedding. And he knows that the neighbor's father just died in the hospital. So he says, I don't have to tell him his father died. I can take him to the wedding, and I can dance with him. He's an Avelis now. So the din is Avelis only begins after you have Yedias Avelis. Gemara talks about Shmua Kareva, Shmua Rechoika. When did I hear about it? Did I hear about it within Shloshim of the death? Did I find out about the death of the relative after 30 days went by? So you see from the Gemara that the dinim of Avelis only begin, it doesn't get off the ground before you have the Shmia. So just like there's a din that Yedias HaMisa is a condition in the mitzvah of Avelis, so too Yedias HaOrla in Chutz Laretz, Yedias HaOrla is a condition in the Nihug HaYisr. If you don't know that it's Orla, so there's no Yisr. So if you don't know there's no Yisr, so there's no Lif Neiver, so I'm allowed to feed it to you. The kasha, the makshim ha'olam, everybody has the kasha, but oilam chutzlars is also bahano. So am I not getting hano by feeding it to the other person? That's a pella. I know it's oilam. It grew in my field. So I know it's oilam. I'm not allowed to get hano. So if I feed it to a person and he's going to be makatoiva, he's going to invite me back to his home because of the fact I invited him. Is not considered getting hano.
He'll give me his orla
still. So we're both getting hano. We're both getting hano from the orla. That's a murderous kasha. So some want to say orla is also hano is only in Eretz Yisrael. Orla b'chutzas halacha l'moshe misinai. So the halacha l'moshe misinai only says that it's also b'achila muta b'hano. That's a very big chiddush. Very big chiddush. The Pnei Shu asks on the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas says when they had orla b'chutzlords, they threw it in the garbage. So Frekman, Pnei Shu asked the Kasha, why did they throw it in the garbage? The Gemara says, Arla's menan esrofim, you're supposed to burn it. So why didn't he burn it? And the Chassam Sofer has the same Kasha, not on the Gemara, has the Kasha on his Rebbe. Chassam Sofer was a Talmud of the Rav Nos Nadler, and he says, for a couple of years it was mamish lo zaza yada metel chiyada. He was with him all day and all night. Chassam Sofer, as a child, his Rebbe told me he should leave his parents home when he was bar mitzvah. So Chassam Sofer was very precocious. So he said his own shtikotach. Chassam Sofer's parents were from a balabatim, but his father was not that learned. His father was a religious balabos. So when he was bar mitzvah, he said an original shtikol Torah. The shtikol Torah was he shlugged up a shtikol Torah from the Elta Zeda. The Elta Zeda published a sefer on Nezikin that's called Koisis Yeshuas. There's a Kois Yeshuas and a Koisis Yeshuas. Nezikin is called Seder Yeshuas. The Gemara says on the Pasuk, the Gemara says, "Emunis itecha chosin shuas chachmas vadas is the shisha sidrei mishnah. Emunis is roim, itecha is moed, itecha chosin is nashim, yeshuas is nizikin, chachmas vadas is kachim and taras. So yeshuas is said in nizikin is called yeshuas. So there are two svarim on the Bava Kama, but we see one is called kos yeshuas by two different people. One is called kosos yeshuas." So Chassam Sofer was an Elta, an Einikel, a Nur Einikel from the Koisus Yeshuas. So his Bar Mitzvah Pshetl was an original Shtigl Torah. He said, oh, there's something from Elta Zeda, and he shlugged it up. So the father didn't know who's right and who's wrong. So the father gave him a slap in public. He says, Chatzuf, how do you have the chutzpah? So a 13-year-old boy disagrees with the Elta Zeda, with the Koisus Yeshuas. How can he do that? So the Rebbe was there, so he says to the father, why did you slap the kid? The kid is right. The Elta Zeda is wrong. So he told the kid he should leave his father's home. He said, you're going to stay by your father. Anytime you're going to ask a kasha on Rashi, your father's going to slap him. Anytime you have a shver Rambam, father's going to slap him. Not allowed to say the Rambam is shver. So you'll never grow. The way you grow in learning is you have to ask with chutzpah. The Gemara says that when the Rebbe learns with the Talmud and the father learns with the son, he can't be so respectful. The child of the father and the Talmud has to ask a little chutzpah dik. It doesn't make sense. It can't be so. After the learning is all over, then you have to respect the father, you have to respect the Rebbe. But in the middle of the learning, yeah, you have to get, it's Mechamto Shel Torah, you have to fight. So the Rav Nos Nadler encouraged the Chassam Sofer to leave his father's home at the age of Bar Mitzvah. He left his father's home, and he always hung out with the Rebbe. And then the Rebbe lived in Frankfurt, and he didn't follow all the Minhagim of Frankfurt. He decided, Rav Nosson Adler decided that Havara, Teimanit, is better than the way the Yekis pronounced, so they chased him out of town. He used to daven Nusach Ari, He said, Daven Nusach Hari in Frankfurt. and he Daven Havara Teimanid, I think. Someone came from Eretz Yisrael, and he said, that's the correct Havara. Everything was different by him. So they chased him out of town. So when they chased that Rav Nos Nadler, he was one of the Goyni Hador. When they chased him out, so Chacham Sofer went along with him. Chacham Sofer went along with him. Yeah. He was they were contemporaries of the Nerdy Behuda. So there was a period of time Nerdy Behuda lived in Prague, and Rav Nos Nadler lived across the bridge, out of Prague. So I don't know why they don't know exactly why they never met. Rav Nos Nadler and Nerdy Behuda never met, but they used to correspond with each other. So Chacham Sofer used to be the mailman. He would cross over the bridge. The bridge that has the Kadosh, 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 that has the Trinity there. So the Chacham Sofer, as a teenager, used to cross over the bridge and deliver the letters from Nos Nadler to the Nadi Behuda and back again. He writes that in his tshuvas. He used to deliver the letters. So he writes in one of the tshuvas, every so often he quotes from Nos Nadler. He says, he was with his Rebbe all the time. He knew all the hanhogas of the Rebbe. He says he never saw that his Rebbe had orla, his Rebbe had trees that grew peiros in the first 3 years. He says he used to throw them in the garbage. He never saw that his Rebbe burnt the peiros. So he's bothered with the kasha, but it says in the Mishnah in the end of Temura, the last half in Temura, that orla is minhan israfim. You're supposed to burn it. If you, by mistake, you have basa b'chalav, so you throw it in the garbage. It's not minhan israfim. You just have to dispose of it. But orla is a chapasek ha-mitzvah minhatur, that you're supposed to burn it. So the Pnei Yeshua asked the kasha on the Gemara. The Gemara says they threw it in the garbage. So the Chacham Sofer asked the same kasha on his Rebbe. How come there? He doesn't ask on the Gemara. He asks on his Rebbe. How come his Rebbe didn't burn it? He comes up with a fantastic chiddush that there is no din that you're obligated to burn the orla. He claims that's a misreading of the Gemara. The Gemara says, at the end of the last Mishnah in Temura says, the Nisrafim Afron Mutter means if you have orla peiros and you burn it, the ashes will be mutter. If you don't want to use the ashes, don't burn it. Throw it in the garbage. Gesundheit, throw it out in the garbage. You're not mechuyev to burn it. If you'll burn it, then the ashes will be mutter. If you burn basa b'chalav, the ashes will not be mutter. But if you burn basa, if you burn orlon klei akerem, hanisrof and afram mutter. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan gets so excited about that. He quotes that Chasam Sofer, that's the teretz. In the yeshivas, nobody assumes like that. Because Rab Chaim assumes that. So Rab Chaim in the Sefer assumes the double poshut. Orla is mananasof means it's a mitzvah to burn it. I, the Pnei Yeshua, asked the kasha, how come they never, the Amoraim threw it in the garbage? So the Rav Chaim and the Ragat Shabbos say that's Orla b'chutz lords, doesn't have all the dinim of Orla b'Eretz Yisrael. Orla b'Eretz Yisrael is also b'hanuan, it's a mitzvah to burn it. Orla b'chutz lords is no mitzvah to burn it. So that's where some go a step further. Orla b'chutz lords, not only is no mitzvah to burn it, it's muta b'hano also. That's why I'm allowed to feed it to someone. It was only osa b'achila. It's muta b'hano. So you're allowed to feed it to someone that doesn't know. But that's a big chiddush. To say it's muta ba'ano b'chutz lord, that is quite a chiddush. But there's some achronim want to say like that. So nachmal, this gemara, the next 10 lines are going to have a series of quotations. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Rav Dimi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. And he said over a few things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, b'shem, Rav Lezer ben Yankif, all are Maris Ayins. So the first one was this. If you have a tree, that's orla the first 3 years. And after the first 3 years are up, no more orlo, it's already 5 years old, but it's so, such a midget, it's only a tefach tall. Chusami tefach, it's less than a tefach tall, so it looks like it's bash nasa, it looks like it's only within the first year, so it's going to have a din of orlo liyoy nevoy, kol shnei seho. But that's only by mehani milish time, kenegas time, if it's only five trees like that, five vines. But if it's going to be a whole field full like that, then there's no more marisain. Everyone will understand this is a different kind of a tree. Then the Gemara says, Ki asir rabdi amar, Rabbi Yechem Shem Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv, said another din, this one is not marisain, another din in the name of Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv, meis teifes arba amas le kriyashma. One is not permitted to learn Torah or to recite kriyashma or to daven within dalet amas of a meis. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, loig l'rosh, you make fun of a poor man. Who's responsible for the fact that this man is poor? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided who should be poor, who should be rich. So if you're going to make fun of the poor man, you're really in effect making fun of the Rabbanu Shlom. It's considered Cheref V'Gidov to God who made him poor. So the people who are dead, in a certain sense, are Rosh. They're dead, they're not able to fulfill any mitzvahs. You have to be careful, so to speak, not to hurt their feelings. I mean, the guy's dead, he doesn't have any feelings. but it's a sensitivity. You shouldn't perform any mitzvahs tochdal anamis of the mace. In Shulchan Aruch they quote I think it's the Rif in the beginning. This Gemara appears in Brachas also, the beginning of Brachas. Where is it? It says Brachas Daf Yutches. So there Taisus and the Rif say, if it's in the same room, let's say you go to a funeral chapel and the mace is in the room and all the people are in the same room, there are walls around, so even if you're dalet amos away, but you're in the same room, also you're not allowed to talk and learning. But if you're not inside a room, you're outside in the street, so you're going to say everyone in the whole street is also to talk and learning. Only those who are tuch dalet amos to the mace. If you're chutz le dalet amos and you're not in the same room, so then you're permitted to talk and learn. Unless, yeah, in the Hespedim, if it's lekovet ha-meis, if you're saying over Shtigl Torah that the meis said, or you're saying a whole agarta, a whole drosha, lekovet ha-meis, that's mutl. That's what the Rishonim say. If it's lekovet ha-meis, minyan shel meis, then it is mutl.
If it's in the same room, can I learn from a safe?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The meaning is that they say tilim.
Yeah.
Say that tilim is lekovet ha-meis. It's a heta. They say tilim lekovet ha-meis. But a guy should learn on his own. Stuck and not right if he's in the same room. That's not proper. Yeah. Then the Gemara goes back to the Marisines. Rabbi Yitzchak was also a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi means he had smicha. In Bovel they didn't have any smicha. He can't confer smicha in chutz lords. And they didn't travel back and forth. Didn't travel back and forth every month in Gondonishtik. Once in a lifetime they travel. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Leizer Ben Yankov. Rabbi Yitzchak was also Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. As he comes to Bavel and tells over Rabbi Yechanan, said another Marisayin in the name of Rabbi Leizer Ben Yankov. Churgiso Hagdela Bein Ha'achim. You have a man and a woman were both previously married. He has children from the first marriage. She has children from the first marriage. And now they get married together. So strictly speaking, they're not even half brothers and half sisters. They're not related whatsoever. That's called churgiso, bein choreg. Bein choreg means if I marry a woman and she has children from a previous marriage. Yeah. That's a bein choreg, a stepson. So here it's a stepbrother. It's not a half brother. It's a stepbrother, a stepsister. So he says, there's a marisayin. The stepbrother, we don't pass like this. The stepbrother and the stepsister are not allowed to marry each other. Because people will think that it's a brother and a sister getting married. Why? The mischazia ki achsayhu. Because it's a marisayin. It looks as if he's marrying a sister. Mischazia. It looks like ki achsayhu. It looks like a sister. Then the Gemara says, "Veloihi." We don't paskin like this. Member of Rabbi Yechanan. Why? Kol Yisrael nosa. What are you talking? Everybody's going to know that it's a stepbrother. So that's halacha lemais. Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva on this. The shaila is. Let's say he has children from a previous marriage, she has children from a previous marriage, and now they have this big family. So usually the children sit around the table, so they poke each other like this, and they slap each other, and they do like this, but this is not even my sister, so I'm not allowed to touch her. Or let's say the parents go away to a wedding, so there's an Issa Yichud. So let's say there's a stepbrother and a stepsister, so there's an Issa Yichud, they can't stay together. So that's the Shaila. So if the children were already teenagers when their parents got married, so the take, there is a problem of yichud. But let's say they were very little, they were young little babies, and they've been brought up together for the longest time. So it's came out like a brother and a sister. So Moshe Feinstein paskins that there's no isa yichud, and there's no isa poking each other. He says, Baharaya, how can you say that it's a, how can the first opinion in the Gemara say that it's a marisayin, ki mischazia, ki achsayu, it looks like a brother marrying a sister. How does it look like a brother? Every time the parents went to a wedding, they had to get a babysitter. Or the boy had to go sleep by the neighbor. Or they're sitting at the table. Obviously, they're not brothers and sisters. They don't act like brothers and sisters. They don't poke each other with their arms, with their elbows at the table. So they say, you see from the Gemara that they act like brothers and sisters. See that there's nothing wrong.
What about a Levelis? Let's say, if they were brought up young.
Strictly speaking, there's no Avelis. There's Avelis on a half-brother and half-sister. The Gemara says Avelis, Mikra Din, is originally there was only Avelis on relatives from the father's side. And either full brother and sister or half-brother and sister, half-brother from the father's side. But if you share the same mother, not the same father, so in the earlier generations, the Gemara says there was no Avelis. Then the Gemara has a brisa and Moed Kot, and there the Megalchon Hosifu Aleim. At a later point, the Tanoim added on that one should even observe Avelus for relatives from the mother's side, even though they're not from the father's side. But if they're not even, not from the father's side, not from the mother's side, only stepbrothers, stepsisters, there's no Avelus. In Shulchan Aruch it says, if a very dear friend dies, and someone wants to he's not a relative at all, and one wants to volunteer Shiva, so there is an inyan of volunteering Shiva. You don't say that it's ganz and ridiculous, like shaking lulav in the middle of the winter. But there's no, like hadlokas neres chanukah in Purim. There's no kima mitzvah. No, it says if a very dear friend dies, so there is such a thing as volunteering avelus. That's why the rabbanim usually recommend that children should sit shiva, they should volunteer shiva for step parents, parents who adopted them, adoptive parents. Strictly speaking, they're not related at all, you're not mechuyev to, but it's like a very dear friend who dies, so there is meaningfulness to volunteering of them. So if they feel close to each other, so it would be nice if they would volunteer of them, but strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev to. Yeah, so that's where Moshe holds that it's not so. Moshe says it depends. If they adopted the child when the child was very young and he raised it like his own child, so he holds that there's no problem of yichud. That was when the Oitzer HaPoskim was printed, so they printed the tshuvas of those poskim who say that by adopted children there's a problem of yichud, so you have to be careful.
For the adopted mother?
Yeah. Let's say if they adopted a boy.
Or a father to a daughter.
Right? Boy or a girl, whatever it is. So in the second volume, I think, in the first volume of the Otzah Poskim, they talk about when a Yotze Piribirivya, and if you adopt, you're not Yotze, but it's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah, and then they quote that there's an issue of Yichud. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe at that time sent a letter to the editors of the Otzah Poskim that they printed in the second volume of the Otzah Poskim. So he wrote, wow, look what you wrote there, that there's an issue of Yichud by adoptive parents. We should bring this to the attention of the public, that the people should know that they have to be careful. So that's why the Lubavitcher Chassidim, generally speaking, have a policy. They don't want to adopt. If they can't have children, they don't adopt, because the Rebbe sent it a letter that, look, the Poskim said that that it's an Issa Yichud. And Rav Soloveitchik gets to think like Rav Moshe, like the Tzitz Eliezer said, if you adopted them at a very young age, they said they made psychological surveys. What's a percentage of the population, let's say when you have natural parents who gave birth to children, what percentage of parents will rape their own children, will molest their own children? So it's a very low percentage. There are Amish goyim in the world who attack their own children, a very low percentage. What's the percentage of adoptive parents who will molest their own children? Slightly higher than natural parents, but it's still way lower than the general population. So that's why there's room for a machlokes. It's the whole reason why there's no issa yichud by a father and a daughter, mother and a son, because the incidence of znus is very low. And here it's slightly higher than by natural children. So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik, this is an old tshuva Rav Moshe had. This was written in Europe, I think, a very old tshuva. It's written in one of the later, it's printed in one of the later volumes of the Igros Moshe, but every tshuva has a date. So this one was written, I think, in Europe. So he writes, he doesn't think, he brings the rife in this Gemara, he says, he sees in the Gemara that if they're brought up together, they look like regular brother and sister, that Reb Lezer ben Yaakov held, that it's a marisayin that looks like a brother marrying a sister. So it happened a few times that Lubavitcher Chassidim, who were not able to have children, came to Rav Soloveitchik, and they asked him, can they adopt? So on one occasion he said, you're not allowed to ask me. You know that your Rebbe holds that it's a problem. So you can't take a psak from it. You're mechuyev to follow your Rebbe's psak. And the second case, that was a Lubavitcher Chassid in Boston. And then some Lubavitcher Chassid in New York called up Rav Soloveitchik and they made an appointment that he's going to speak to him. So they made up, he's going to meet Rav Soloveitchik after the Shia, on Wednesday afternoon, whatever, 3 o'clock after the Shia. So the Lubavitcher Chassid came to Rav Soloveitchik's apartment, he was knocking on the door, knocking, didn't answer the door. So he went across the street to Rabbi Chalap. And he said to Rabbi Chalap, the husband went to Rabbi Chalap, he said, I thought you told me you made an appointment with Rabbi Soloveitchik. He's knocking on the door, he doesn't answer the door. So Rabbi Chalap had his Rabbi Soloveitchik's unlisted phone number. So he called him on the phone, and he said, yes, he answers the phone. So he says, the man is knocking on the door, you made an appointment. He says, I know he's knocking on the door, what am I going to tell him? I don't want to talk to him. He said, what do you mean? He came all the way from Crown Heights. You have to talk to him. So he said, okay, send him back across the street. So he comes back across the street. Rabbi Soloveitchik gives him for an hour, and then he goes back to Chalap. He's in tears. And he says, what did Rabbi Soloveitchik tell you? He says, he was telling me that the halacha is not etched in stone, and it's not so, we're not always machmer, and we'll always have to consider difficult situations, shas hatchak, when mekel, and so on and so on. Gives him a whole drasha, and then he says, I'll tell you what, you come back in another 5 years, if he's still married 10 years already, so you come back in another 5 years, if you still don't have any children, then we'll discuss. So he says, that's what he told me after 45 minutes of telling me the halacha is mekel b'shas hatrak. He doesn't understand. What did he tell me? Come back in another 5 years. So 9 months later, his wife had a baby boy. So he called up Rabbi Soloveitchik. The rabbi's in Boston. He was already an old man. And he says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, he's having a bris on Sunday. He wants to know, can you come in to be the sandik? It's your baby. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it is not my baby, it is your baby. I have nothing to do with this. You are the father of the child. I am not. He said, no, but it's because of your brachas that I had the baby. He asked him, can he come? So he says, he's falling to pieces. He can barely come in to give the shiur on Tuesday and Wednesday. He can't come in on Sunday. So he gave him his blessings. But he didn't want to get involved because these are Lubavitcher chassidim, and the Lubavitcher is supposed to follow their rebbe. If it would have been someone else, he would have told him right off the bat, not a problem, adopt them, if I think. But because it wasn't, because they were Lubavitcher, and he said they're supposed to follow their Rebbe's psak. They're not supposed to shop around for other psak. But this is the Gemara that they all quote.
When the Gemara says that it's going to look like such and such, does it mean that it really appears to the eye that their father and sister? In other words, let's say there's another girl who looks just exactly like his
sister.
No,
I don't think so. No, but here it looks like they were brought up together. It looks like they're brother and sister. They're brought up in the same household. That's the Mara sign. People would think that he married his sister. I mean, there's a double. She looks like someone else is his sister. I don't think so. Yeah?
If somebody adopts a child, he grows up, he becomes 8 and 20, they find out he was adopted. It has not a negative spur on this person, I mean this adopted child. He's already now 18, 20 years old. He understands their life.
Very often adopted children have psychological problems because they know that their parents rejected them. Why did their parents give them up for adoption?
Yeah.
Unless they were assignment that both parents died. But if one of the parents still alive and they gave them up for adoption, so very often they will have psychological problems.
Yeah.
That is a problem. Yeah. And very often if they don't tell the child that he's adopted, he only finds out later in life. So that causes a major psychological crisis. So more correct is he should tell the child from the outset that he was adopted. More correct, you should tell him he was converted also. A lot of times you adopt a non-Jewish child, so you don't tell him until he's 55 years old that he was converted, so he falls to pieces. So that's what Moshe Feinstein writes. He recommends psychologically, best is you tell him from the beginning that he was adopted, he was converted, and he should live with the idea. He should learn to live with the idea.
It's not that issue to adopt a Jewish child.
What?
It's not an issue to adopt a Jewish child.
If you convert,
if
you can adopt Jewish children, so why not? Take care of Jewish children. Adopt the Jewish children. But a lot of times you can't find Jewish children to adopt. The goyim are more prepared to give up children for adoption. The Jewish children are usually taken care of. By Yiddish, there may be a problem of mamzeres. Okay, so you have to make sure that there's no problem. Even if he's a mamzer, someone has to take care of him anyway. He can't marry a Jewish girl. He has to marry a Georgian, but still someone has to raise him.
Yeah. Don't you have to inform him when you come to this so that he can be pleasure?
Not really. We don't really hold like that. Rav Al-Yashiv was trying to reverse the Psak HaMekubal for centuries. Rav Al-Yashiv likes that opinion, the Ritvos Pshat and the Gemara in Ksubis, and Daf Yud Aleph, that when you adopted a child and you converted him, so when he becomes bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, so you have to ask him in the presence of the bezdin in the daytime, do you accept upon yourself the whole mitzvahs? And you do a whole kabbalah on mitzvahs, and you complete the gears. But that was not the practice for many centuries. That's not the way it's described in Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch just says what the Gemara says. If the child reaches bar mitzvah and he's moche, he says, I'd rather not be Jewish. He doesn't want to keep mitzvahs. So then you cancel the geiris. But not that you have to be mekabel on mitzvahs when he becomes bar mitzvah. He should know before bar mitzvah that he has the option of turning everything down. And he should let us know before the bar mitzvah, the bas mitzvah.
They don't tell him until he's 50 yet.
Right, so you should tell him in advance. But not that you need a bezdin and you have a formal kabbalah on mitzvahs. Tell him in advance. You have to decide whether you want it or you don't want it. And we think you'll be happy observing Yiddishkeit. If you give him a Jewish education, he will be happy observing Yiddishkeit. Yeah. So Rabbi Yashiv was trying to push to change the practice. That you have to convene a bezdin before the bar mitzvah. That was never the practice. That's a chumra. It's not really right. It's not really right to introduce chumras in these areas. The Gemara says, at the beginning of Gittin, when a shaliach delivers a get in Chutz Lartz, the husband lives in New York, and the shaliach is going to go deliver the get in California. The wife is in California. So the shaliach has to be there when the get is written and signed, so he'll be able to declare, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. When you bring a get, maybe get in Chutz Lartz, sochlam, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. So the Gemara says, the shliach has to sit there the whole 40 minutes when the sofer sits and writes the get, when the edim sign it. Gemara says, no, as long as he's there in the beginning. He sees the sofer is preparing the pen and the paper, and he started to write genuk, and then he's there. When the edim sign genuk, he doesn't have to be there the whole 40 minutes that he's writing. So one of the shlichim, one of the amoraim, was going to serve as a shliach lohilochas haget. So he said, maybe I should be machmir. I'm going to say before I nechtav, it's a shtick of a lie. If I was only there when he wrote the first line, I would feel more comfortable if I'd sit there the whole time. So they told him he's not allowed to be machmer on this issue. Kedei shelo lahotzi laz al gitin harishonim, because for so many generations they were never machmer on that. And if you introduce a chumra, it's going to imply as if the other gitin were not proper. So some achrayim hold that this is true in all areas of halacha. Sounds a little funny in our generation. You're never allowed to introduce any new chumras that they never observed in the previous generations. Obviously, that's not the common practice. Common practice, they're introducing chumras and everything. Yeah. The head of Rabbi Kivega has such a tshuva. There was a community where they only buried men in tachrichim. Women, they buried in regular dresses. They didn't have special tachrichim. So they brought it to Rabbi Kivega's attention. So he has a whole pilpul. Even though they did wrong, the Takanas Rabbi Gamliel, that he should bury everybody in very cheap, inexpensive tachrichim, was for men and for women. Rabbi Kivega says, a whole discussion, maybe they shouldn't change the practice in that community, maybe you have to leave it, in order not to cause embarrassment to the Doris HaRishayim. Even though they did Shaloi Kedin. So the poskim are not sure that concept, Shalo Lahotzi Laz, Ala Doris HaRishayim, maybe it only applies in Inyone Yuchsin. If you're going to be motzi laz on the gitna harishon, it means all the children who are born from the second husband are going to be mamzerim. That's lahotzi laz. But lahotzi laz that they did wrong, that they didn't bury women in tachrichim, so they did wrong. So what's so bad? It doesn't leave a lasting effect on the doris haboyim. So they did wrong.
I think they also, when they finally resumed writing on a clock, the gitna, where previously they didn't have the money to write.
Years ago, they always used to write on parchment. And then there was a period of centuries where they couldn't afford it, so they wrote on paper.
And then when
the Jews became wealthier, so they wanted to go back to write on parchment, so they said, no, leave it like that. If you're going
to
start writing on parchment, so people will think that all the gitna were written on paper are no good. So that's why the meaning now is we write gitna on paper. We don't write the thick paper, but it's not parchment. You only write on paper, shalola hotzilaz, on those generations when they wrote the gitna on paper. So here, the Inyan of Geiris, Geiris is certainly an issue of Yuchsin. So Rabbi Yashi wants to introduce a chumra that clearly was not observed for centuries. They never established a bezin of three people prior to the bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah of the Ger Katan, and to ask him by yom in the presence of the bezin on Yimekabal mitzvah. They never did that. The dino always was observed. The child has the ability to be moicha. They asked the child, do you have an option of turning down the whole toifa that we did for you, of converting you? You want to be Jewish and you want to cancel the whole stuff. So the child says he wants to be Jewish. You don't need a bez. So that's why the pashta says it's not proper to introduce this chum.
Help me understand the previous one. I'm sorry, going back to the Orla question. How did those, if we hold that Rashi was wrong. You know, so how do we learn this Gemara?
The Gemara just says if you have one or two or three or five trees, and all the five trees are so low, then it's a marasim. But if you have more than five trees, then they'll already understand that it's a different kind of a tree.
And you have one tree.
One to five, there's a problem. Not like Rashi says, because five is the minimum, because you have to have a kerem, and less than a kerem, there's no din of orla. No, orla applies even a peach tree, menatera. It can't be that it's dependent on kerem. Rashi's right that the definition of kerem is five, like Rashi wrote on the Mishnah. But it's irrelevant for orla. We hold that orla applies even to one tree.
But if one tree is marasayim, then certainly what's the difference how it's planted if it's one tree?
Right, one to five, there'll be marasayim. More than five, there can't be marasayim. It's too much already.
But according to the market, it's only if it's a kerem.
That's what Rashi interpreted. That's how Rashi interpreted in the Gemara.
How else do you learn the Gemara?
No, the others say no. The Marisayin only applies if it's one to five trees. Anything more than five trees, it'll be understood already that the nature of the tree is such that it's midget. It's not because it's within the first year. That's how the other Mishnah learned, not like Rashi.
It doesn't fit into the words of the Gemara.
Why the Gemara said, Shtaim connected Shtaim, Vachas Yotzei Zonav? Why they said that? That's why they used to plant trees. They didn't stop plant haphazard. They used to plant in an orderly fashion.
But the Gemara's making it as a condition.
Chashash and Marisayin is only one to five, and more than five is Ois Marisayin. And the five, that normally they'll plant it in an orderly fashion. Shtaim keneged shtaim. So again, so the Gemara has the first Marisayin, we do paskin like. If the trees are midgets, it has a din of arla kol shna seho. Even after 10 years, it has a din of arla. Unless it's a whole field like that. The second marisayin of Rabbi Yechon, the name Rabbi Lozem and Yankiv, we don't accept. Velohi, about the stepbrother and the stepsister, not allowed to marry each other. Gemara says, no, kol islay. That's like a whole field. And they're all midget trees. Everybody will know kol islay. Yeah, stepbrother will always be kol islay. The third one is right there, Marisayin. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mishum Rabbi Lezim and Yankiv. Rabbi Yitzchok came from Eretz Yisrael, says, oh, in the name of Rabbi Yechon, Mishum Rabbi Lezim and Yankiv, another Marisayin. Leket Shikha Peyo, what the poor people take from the field. So the din is that Leket Shikha Peyo, whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, it has the status of Tevel, and you have to take off Trumagdoyla, Maiserishin, Maisersheni. Or if it's the third year or the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, instead of Maaseh Sheni, you take off Maaseh Rani. And before you take off the 2% for Terumah Gedolah and 10% for Maaseh Rishon, 9% for Maaseh Sheni, everything is labeled as Tevel, you're not allowed to eat it. So this din of Tevel only applies on the peiros that grow in Eretz Yisrael, the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the bebelach, whatever grows, that belongs to the balabos. What if the balabos is mafka, the whole field, kol ha-kodim zoch, and then someone is zechem and a hefker? So the Gemara says, you're not chayv in Trumas and Maisus. Hefker is not chayv in Trumas and Maisus. So Rashi comments over here that just like Hefker is not chayv in Trumas and Maisus, the Mishnais tell us that Lekin Shikrepeyo is also not chayv in Trumas and Maisus. Why not? So this is a shade of a difference between Rashi and Tosis. Rashi here writes, and Rashi in Bava Kamma writes, that Lekin Shikrepeyo is Hefker, but it's a limited Hefker. It's only Hefker to the Aniyim. If I have a field and I mafke the whole thing, kol ha-kodim zocha, so it's hefka lako. And this, the Torah said, this is hefka to the anim. It's mufkorim to the anim. So whatever is hefka, whatever you get from a hefka, is potaf and shumas maises. Tosfos and Bava Kamma, chapters on the Rashi. Tosfos and Bava Kamma, on Daf Chav Zayin, I think. Omer Aleph. So Tosfos quotes the Rashi there, says the same as Rashi here. Tosfos disagrees. They say, no, there is no such thing, hefka no anim velo lashirim. That's a machlekes in the Mishnais Bishamei Bishil. So Bishamei say, if you want, you can make a hefker lachatzoin. A mafker, let's say, I have single dollar bills and I want to give money to tzedakah. I don't know who to give it to. So I put all the money on the table and I say, I mafker it to the aniyim. Only aniyim have a right to take it. Ashirim have no right to take it. So Bishamei say, hefker l'aniyim, havi hefker. It's hefker and only aniyim have a right to take it. If the ashirim take it, then it's gzeila. It still belongs to me. I'm only mafker it vis-a-vis aniyim. And we pass like Basil, there is no such thing. Where do you know that there is an institution of Hefker Bichlal? When the Rebbe Shalom created the world, everything was Hefker. But then people grabbed up everything. So this is mine and that's yours, that's yours. How do you know that after it belongs to me, I can put it on the table and say, Harei ze hefker? How do you know such a thing exists, that there's a concept of hefker? So the Yerushalmi learns it off in the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. This week said, V'hashviyas tishmeteno unetashto v'ochlo evyoni amecha. The pears that grow in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmita, the farmer should leave it hefker, and he should leave it hefker. Hashviyas tishmeteno, the farmer should be mafkeret, unetashto, and you should be mafkeret. So the Yerushalmi says, so usually we say, Rabbi Yishmael would say, Dibra Terka the Shain Meni Od. That's the way people talk. People make a statement, they repeat, and they say words that are redundant. So the Chumash was dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu the way the Shain Meni Od. We don't follow Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. We hold like Rabbi Akiva. Lo Dibra Terka the Shain Meni Od. Whenever the Chumash repeats a phrase, Hanek Tanik, Nosin Titein, Posach Tiftach, Mos Yumos, whenever a phrase is repeated, we darshan, Rabbi Akiva darshans, there must be a reason. You must be marba something additional. So why does it say here, Tishmeten unetashta? So this is the mocha, Yeshlach Tisha Cherishi Kazu, this is the source for Hefker. Vashvi is Tishmeten, the pears that grow during Shnas HaShmita, the Torah says the farmer has a mitzvah to be mafkerid. And any other year of the seven-year cycle, if he wants to be mafke his automobile or his dollar bills, he also has the ability to be mafke whatever he wants. Tishmetenu unetashto. So just like Shviyas, you have to be mafke with lakol, the farmer has the right to say, I'm only mafke for the people who live in Washington Heights. Whoever doesn't live in my neighborhood, I'm not mafke. That's not right. Yeah, the farmer has to be mafke with lakol. So too, if you, Beis Hillel derived the institution of hefker from that pasuk, so hefker is only a valid hefker, achi hefker lakol, kishviyas, because the mocker of the whole institution of hefker, that a person has the right to be mafker his property. The whole mocker is from that pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So we hold that there's no such thing as hefker la nim lo lashim. So that's what Tosis Shep is Rashi. How can Rashi say that leket shikra peyos pata mitrumas amaisris is the exact same din as hefker being pata from trumas amaisris? There are two different Mishnayos, and Taisa says the one is not a form of the other. Hefker is one din, a leket shikapeh is a different din. Matnas aniyam, a pata from Trumas Amayis, not because it's hefker laniyam. Taisa says it can be, there is no such thing as hefker laniyam. Rashi apparently thinks there's no such thing as hefker laniyam. If I decide, I want to make, I take a sefer, I take a dollar bill, I hereby declare it's hefker only for the poor people. But leket shikapeh, the Torah declares that it's hefker laniyam. Not that the concept doesn't exist. You are not a balabas to make it. But if the Torah declares it's hefker laniyam, it's hefker laniyam. And Taisa says, no, the concept doesn't exist. No such thing as hefker laniyam. There is hefker lachatzoyin, that you can have. Hefker lachatzoyin you can have. Let's say a person has a field, and he says, I'm afker the field with respect to, the field should still belong to me, I'm after the field with respect to people having the right to walk through the field. I give them permission, they can walk from one side to the other. I'm after that right of the field. The rest of the field belongs to, everything in the field is mine, including the pathway, but there's no Issa Gezel if they walk through the field, not I'm giving them permission. I'm after the field with respect to the right to go through. So that's a Gemara. The Hefke Lachatzoin you can have. But this kind of Hefke Lachatzoin, I'm after only to some people and not to others, that we pass on like Beisilo. So here, Rabbi Yochanan said a name of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Amar Isayin. If the poor man collected a little leket shikra pay over here, a little leket, he gets a bupkis, he gets a couple of, how much does he get of it? How much leket shikra pay can it be? So he gets, he's a go-getter. He goes to one field, goes to another field, goes to another field. He comes home with a ton of leket shikra pay. And it looks like he has, people will think, look, the guy must have had his own farm. They don't see that he schnorred a little bit from this field, or schnorred a little bit from that field. It's all matan. They see that he comes on with a truck, a whole ton full of stuff. So it's a marisayin, so midi rabbanon, mishum marisayin, he has to be mafish, chumas amaisis. That's what Blazer Mayankin says. Leket shikrepeya, and he has so much, and he has so much, hason, begoren, he piles it all up in a big volume, hukvu lemaiser, so midi rabbanon, yimuchiv to be mafish, chumas amaisis, Mishum Marisayin. That's a shadow. Whenever you do a mitzvah, Mishum Marisayin, whether you say a bracha or not. Let's say in Hilchas Chanukah, Shulchan Aruch, it says, the Gemara in Bama Madlikin, it says, if you have, in the days of the Gemara, they used to light al Pesach HaBayis, Mibachut, so all the people that passed by would see. So if a person has an apartment, he has two doors. One borders on one street, and the other door borders on the other street. So the Gemara says, it's chayv lahadlik ner chanukah in both of the doorposts because the marisai. If it'll only light on one, so the people who walk on the other street will think that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of ner chanukah. The zman is that people light ner chanukah in the house. A lot of times no one sees outside the chalsa, but the zman is that there's no problem on marisai. But the zman Gemara, there was a problem on marisai. So the Ramah there, in Hilchas Chanukah, quotes from the Ran on the Rif, that the first menorah that you light, you say a bracha. The second one is only Mishum Marisayin. That's a fake. That's a make-believe. That's not a real Hadlokas HaMenorah. So on that, you don't say a bracha. You only say a bracha on the Pesum Nisa when you're performing a mitzvah. So the second one, you're not really performing a mitzvah of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. You're avoiding violation of an Averi. You're not allowed to do something that should imply as if you're not doing a mitzvah. You're not allowed to ruin your own reputation. So I have no prayer. I better light a menorah there, otherwise people will think that I'm not religious. But I'm lighting a menorah to avoid violation of an aver. Yisim nikim, Hashem yisim. I'm not really fulfilling a mitzvah there. So the Ramah quotes that Ran, that you don't say a bracha. So that's the Shaila. Rabbi Kivega there raises a question. What if you have a ben pekua? I shech the cow, and after the cow is geshachten, then it gives birth to a vlad. So min haTorah, the Mishnah is learned that in the fourth parak in Chulin, parak Beimam Kasha. Min haTorah, the uber that's born after the shechita of the mother doesn't need shechita, but the Mishnah says a hifris agabi karka. If the uber starts walking around like a regular vlad, walks around and it lives for a couple of years, and then they decide to shecht it, so mishum marisan you have to shecht it. So when you shecht the ben pekud, do you say bracha or not? So it says you do. Many hold they do say bracha. So Rabbi Kivega raises the issue. How come over here by Blokas, there is Chanukah, Mishnah, Marisan, you don't say bracha? How come over there you do say bracha? It's a good kasha. It's a good shot.
So you say the bracha v'hi sem nekiyim?
No. Say bracha v'tzivonu al ha-shchita. Yeah. No. You got to say bracha al ha-shchita. So that's a contradiction. Yeah. So that's the shayla there. He says, lekhet shikhaper. There's a Marisayin. So you have to be mafrish maestris. Mafrish on a bracha. Just to avoid the marisayin, or no, mid the rabbanon they declare that it's really tell. It's only marisayin, on a bracha, like the hadlokas neres chanukah.
Even though everybody knows he's a poor man.
Oh, so then the Gemara says, "V'loy amaranela basad." It depends. Where does he live? Does he live in the city? Does he live on the farm? So if the poor man has a little farm, so the neighbors don't know how what size farm he has. So they see one fine day he has a whole ton of peiros. So they'll think, okay, he has a farm. It must have grown on his farm. But if the guy lives in the middle of the city, he has no farm. Everybody knows he has no farm. So where did he get the ton? Obviously, he schnorred like a shikrapeya from there, from everywhere. So then there's no marisai. That's how the Gemara says, lo yamaranela basada. If the poor man has a field, and the neighbors don't know how much peiros grew in his field. So there's a marisai, they'll think it all grew by him. Avol ba'ir, but if he lives in the city, obviously, kol yisrael the mils, everybody will know that it's all matnas anim and it's not chayv and shumas amaisus. Then the Gemara has epis nochad din based on what we had before. We just had before. Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of this Tana, Rabbi Leizer ben Yankiv, if you have a tree that's such a midget, it doesn't even grow. It's less than a tefach, a tiny tree less than a tefach. So before we had a chumrah. Because it's less than a tefach, it looks like it's orlo, kol shnei seho. Even if it's 10 years old, it looks like it's bashnasa. So you have to observe, mishum marasan, you have to observe the prohibition of orlo, kol shnei seho, the whole lifetime of the tree. So that's lechumra. Do you ever have any kula, based on the fact that it looks like a midget? How can you have a kula? A marasan makes chumras, it doesn't make, you can't be mekel, because it looks like it's within the first year. So the Gemara has a funny din. Va'amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mishum Rabbi Leizer ben Yankiv. Has another din. Yalda hapchusa mitefach. If you have a tree and it's so short, it's so low above the ground, it's less than a tefach. Eina mikadeshes es hazroim. There is a din. This, what kind of a tree is this? This is a grapevine. So usually that we discussed last week, this kiloi zroim and es kiloi hakerim. So kiloi zroim, you're not allowed to plant vegetables near each other, but if you did plant, let's say the goyim don't, are not muzer on this, So the goyim planted vegetables near each other, so it doesn't tasa b'dieved. But kloy hakerem is not only an issa to plant it; it's an issa even to eat it. And even if a goy planted it in chutz laretz, also mid the rabbanon kloy hakerem applies even in chutz laretz. And even if a goy planted grapes over here and grain over here, everything will be asa b'hanah. How can we ever buy grapes in the store? How do we know maybe it's kloy hakerem? How can you buy any flour in the store from grain? Maybe the grain grew right next to a vineyard, and there wasn't a harchoke, it wasn't a fence separating between. So the answer is that the whole din of kloya kerem b'chutzlar is only with the rabbanon. So the din is that safik is lahakel, just like safik gadla b'chutzlar is lahakel. So safik kloya kerem b'chutzlar is also lahakel. That's the mishnah. And eretz yisrael taki you can't. A safik kloya hakerem in eretz yisrael is also see taki. There are some non-religious kibbutzim where they don't observe the laws of klayim, say taka not allowed to buy grapes from that kibbutz. If you think that it may be kloy hakerem, you're not allowed to buy grain from such a kibbutz. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael you have to have a hechsher on everything, on the grain and on the grapes, to make sure that it's not kloy hakerem. The whole hechsher just consists of ascertaining which kibbutz did it grow at. Did it grow on a kibbutz where the lahachas nikkis? And they violate. Why should they violate the laws? Only lahachas. If they violate the laws of klal kerem, it's also even b'dieved. It'll be also b'achila. And in chutz laretz, if you're not sure, it'll be mutter. Safek klal kerem b'chutz laretz is mutter because it's only a chumer mederabana. Safek klal kerem in eretz yisrael is also.
Israel, the imported grain from chutz laretz. They don't have enough grain grown in Israel.
Both ways. The bagels in America are made from Israeli grain. Mm-hmm. It's different kind of grain. The bread in Eretz Yisrael is made from American grain, and the bagels in America is different kind of grain. So you have to know. You have to know what kind of a product you're eating. There's a big machlokes. The Gemara says if you eat grapes in Eretz Yisrael, and you say grapes that grew in Eretz Yisrael, say bracha achronim, you say v'noid lecho al haaretz v'al peiroseha. Or even if you bring grapes to America. I was just in Eretz Yisrael last week, so I stayed by some people, so they gave me grapes to eat. So I was eating the grapes in London, in the airport, and I said, because the grapes grew in Eretz Yisrael. Same thing, wine. If you drink wine that came from grapes that grew in Eretz Yisrael, so I say, so what if you eat cookies that are made from grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael? So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim and in Achronim. So you look in the Rishonim, many of the Rishonim, a lot of the Rishonim, and Achronim already a lower percentage, they say, you should say Al Horetz Val Michyosa. Menod Delecho Al Horetz Val Michyosa, Baruch Ata Hashem. You don't say Al Horetz Val Michyo. If you eat cookies in America that are made from Israeli grain, so a lot of Rishonim and Achronim, many Rishonim and some Achronim say you should say Al Horetz Val Michyosa. The reason why we don't do it, Lemaisa, is because you can never tell where the grain originated. It could be the cookies were manufactured in Eretz Yisrael from American grain. And the bagels in America are Israeli grain. There's different kind of grain that are good for different kinds of products.
But the hashgacha on the bagel is where the grain came from. Also, besides the hashgacha.
Okay.
Should be.
Should be.
But if we buy in the United States Israeli wines now, the Israeli industries import grapes from the outside also.
Also do. Oh, they. So it's a question even whether you say otherwise, well, pigafna on the Israeli wines. It may not even be.
Some of the wine grapes are imports.
Uh-huh. You have to read the bottle slowly, Hans. You have to read the bottle carefully. One balabas tells me he was in Eretz Israel. And someone showed him a bottle of wine, and it says in Hebrew letters, lo kosher. So the customer who bought it didn't know Hebrew. He said, so Hebrew letters. He knew it's kosher. And this guy knows Hebrew. He said, lo kosher. So it's not kosher on the bottle. So you have to read the bottle carefully to see if it says it's made from Israeli grapes or from chutz laretz.
Why would they write that?
So religious Jews will know not to buy it. They wanted to warn all the religious Jews. They should know this wine is not kosher. So the company wrote on the label that it's not kosher. But an American didn't know how to read Hebrew. So he wanted a kosher bottle of wine. So he went to the store, saw Hebrew lettuce. He thought it was kosher.
So
he didn't know that it says low kosher.
If you buy an Israeli wine which has the Ashkoff, you would assume that they're Israeli grapes.
I don't know. This is, to me, a chiddush that they import grapes in Eretz Yisrael. I thought it usually says on the bottle, let's say on the Golan wines, it says this
that's
is...
Golan.
Yeah, that says a Golan product. I was in the Golan for the Bar Mitzvah 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So they had, yeah, so they had wines that were made from grapes that grew in Golan. Okay, got to read the bottle next time.
So what about the plane coming from Eretz Yisrael, where the grain, they make alamichia, they're considered a mizonis.
I mean the Mizonis roll.
Yeah, roll.
They have a bread. Yeah, that's a very questionable.
Going, you have yogis.
It's the exact same bread, but the OU holds that it's hamotzi, and the London Kadasya holds that it's Mizonis. And the Chassidish Hashgachas now the Volover gives the Hashgacha. The OU doesn't have. Now the Volover gives the Hashgach on the glad kosher meals that they give you on the Adler plane going to Eretz Yisrael. So the Volover gives the Hashgach because the OU doesn't want to allow them to say that it's Mizonis. Because the Rabbanim and the OU hold that it's Amotzi, it's not Mizonis. And the Volover holds that it is Mizonis. So it says all the breads are Mizonis. That's not right. The din is that if you eat cake or cookies together with the whole meal, and it serves the role like it, that's possible because then you're eating it like bread. So the din is you have to wash and you have to bench and you have to say hamotzi. It's regular hamotzi there. It's very difficult, those who say that it's only mizonis. So let's see again, Nachamol. He's saying another din, Rabbi Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv, that if you have a tree, he's talking about a vineyard, vines. If you have grape vines that are so low, it's abnormal. They're midges, they don't even grow higher than a tefach. So before he said, achumrem harisayin, that it looks even kolshna, even after the first 3 years, you have to observe the laws of orla, you treat it because it's a marisayin. It looks like it's orla. So now he says, this can lead to a kula. What could the kula possibly be? Since it's so low, it doesn't look like a grapevine. Grapevines are normally high, so it doesn't create kloy hakerem. What? Because it doesn't look like a normal grapevine, so it doesn't create... But it is a grapevine, so it does create kloy hakerem. If you plant grapes too close to grain or too close to vegetables, then it becomes kloy hakerem. Isn't it an isa deraisa? So how can you be makel? Because it doesn't look like a normal vine, because it's such a midget, it's so low, less than a tefah. Yalda p'chusami tefah, a tree, a grapevine, that's lower than a tefah. Einem mikadeshes, says Hazra mikadeshes, means to aser. Does it create kloy hakerem or not? It's grapevine, and it doesn't create kloy hakerem. Why not? It's amod nadin. So Rashi finds this very difficult. What in the world is going on here? How can it be? So Rashi says, the Rashi towards the end of the second column, Rashi pulls in a gemara, menachas daf tezvav, that's a questionable gemara. How do you read that gemara? So Rashi reads the Gemara bin Ichusa. The Gemara is making a statement. Other Rishonim on the daf there read the Gemara b'tamia. Is that so? It cannot be. So Rashi learns the Gemara bin Ichusa. The Gemara is making a statement. What's the statement? The Gemara says, "Kamus v'loif osra Torah shazroi midrabbananinu." Rashi learns that that's a statement. That kloy hakerem is osra b'hanoa doesn't apply to any and every, if you have, you have to have grapes. And the other thing has to be grain or vegetables. So the Gemara says there, it doesn't apply minat Torah to all vegetables. If you have one tree next to another tree, even grape tree next to an apple tree next to an orange tree, that's not kloy hakerem. Kloy hakerem, if you can, you're permitted to plant l'hatchila one tree next to another. Climb in a tree is only if you graft one branch from one to the other, and that's an isa deraisa, even in chutzlot and even for non-Jews. That's considered like one of the Sheva Mitzvah. We spoke the other week about that. But to plant grapes, not next to another tree, to plant grapes next to grain or next to vegetables, so we always thought that that's Kloy HaKerem Min HaTorah. That should be also Banu Min HaTorah. So Rashi has this Gemara in Menachas Daf Tezvav Mebeis, where he reads the Gemara Bin Ichusa, that only certain vegetables become also Min HaTorah, Kambas Volo, Fasra Torah, Shai Zerayim is only Midirabbanon. So since it's only Midirabbanon, so in this funny case, that it doesn't look like a normal grapevine, so they never introduced the Chumrim of the Rabban. Other Rishonim disagree. There, you look on Menachas, Daftas, Vav, and Beis, so you have the Shittim Kobetzes printed on the side of the Gemara Menachas, so they say, how can that be? That's impossible. Rashi stands on his head over there to try to explain, why should it only be? What's unique about Kamas Balof? Manishtana Kamas Balof from all other grains and vegetables. So Rashi there has a funny pshat that just like the grapevine, the grapes grow in clusters. You have a whole cluster of grapes. So the Kamas Balof also grows in clusters. And it's only us at Klei Akerim if the vegetable is similar to the grapes that it grows like clusters. Anything else doesn't grow in cluster shape, so it's only a chumra midirabban, only a klal kerem midirabban. Ah, funny svar. The Shita Mekubetzes on the side of the Gemara says, no, Rashi read it wrong. The Gemara meant to say, bitmiya, what do you mean to tell me, kamas v'loif astar shahaz v'am is only midirabban? There is no such thing. Everything is awesome in atar. So according to the other Rishonim, we don't begin to understand what's going on in our Gemara. They're going to have to stand on the head to give a pshat over here. So Rashi is also shver. So Rashi says, we're talking about most of the Klei Akerem is only going to be Midirabbanan anyway. Anything outside of these two funny vegetables are Kamas Balof. So since you're only dealing with a Dindirabbanan, so here it's a funny kind of a grapevine. It's a midget. It's not normal. It doesn't grow to a height. It's less than a tefach. So they never introduced the Chumra at all. So, and then the Gemara adds on. That's only if it's 1, 2, 3, 5 grapevines. But if you have a whole field full of grapevines and the whole thing is lower than a tefach, so then everybody knows that that's normal. There's nothing abnormal about it then. Havel kuli kerem, a whole vineyard, then it would be mekadesh. Then it would aser, and you can't say there's no longer looks like a grapevine. It does look himself. Very shveri gemara. Very strange gemara. Yeah, then it'll aser all vegetables.
Not only
comes love. Then it asers everything. Very strange then. Then the Gemara quotes another din. The next din is Taka Alocha Lamaisa. Let's say you attend a funeral. The din is at a mace. If you have a dead sheretz, the Chumash lists off 8 Shmeinu Shratzim Hamur Matar. There are 8 rodents that are metame if they're dead. While they're alive, they're not metame. So it's metame b'moisa, only metame b'maga. Only if you touch it. Not metame b'masa. Let's say I have a mouse trap and the mouse is dead, and I pick up the trap and I carry it, but I don't touch the mouse. I move the mouse without touching it directly. That's maso. So sheretz, a dead sheretz, is not metame b'maso, only metame b'maga. What about nivlas behema? Let's say you go to the A&P, and they have non-kosher meat, nevela meat, and you pick it up. So you're not touching the meat with your fingers. It's in a wrapper. You have gloves on, so for sure you're not touching it. So there's no maga, but there's maso. So the din is that nivlas behema is metame b'maga u'b'maso. Not just b'maga, like the Shmuel Shrotzen, even metami b'masa. But if I'm in the same room, it's not metami b'oil. And then it's a din, odem kiyom is b'oil. If a human being dies, and not only is metami b'maga b'masa, it's even metami b'oil. And that's a machlekes satanayim, but it only applies to a Jewish dead body. What if it's a non-Jewish dead body? Non-Jewish dead body is certainly metami b'maga b'masa. The machlekes, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, the Rabbanon, is it metami b'oil or not? Even if you hold like Reb Shimon bar Yochai, it's not metami b'oil, it's only metame b'magamasa, but it's still metame shiva. It's metame for 7 days. You need hazos paraduma, eifa para shlishi shvi. It's not like touching an avela. It's still a meis akum is still more chomer than a nivlas behema. Metame b'magamasa kol shiva, and you need hazos shlishi shvi. So in Shulchan Aruch we machmer for that. The shalos by the kohen is permitted to be in the same room with a meis akum, with a dead body of an akum. So we're machman that a meis akum amitami b'oil. So what's the definition of ohel? What does it mean ohel? Maga, I know, I touch it. Masa, I push it like this is masa, or I'm wearing gloves, or it's in a package and I pick it up. That's masa, or I push it. That's masa. Fine. What is definition of ohel? So the halacha says the Mishnahs have 3 forms of ohel. One form is, I'm leaning over the mace, I'm mahal on the mace. The other case is, I'm sitting, minding my own business, and they're carrying the mace on top of me. And the third case is, I'm over here and the mace is over there, and we're both under the same roof. That's called oil hamshacha. So these are the 3 kinds of oil. So Rabbi Yochanan quotes, he heard in the name of a Tana, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv, it's not Marisayan, but it's a chashash. There's a chumer mederabbanan. Mace, taif, is dalet amas letumah. a lot of times, let's say, if a person is in a room and they have the Oren of the Mace there by the funeral, so that's Olam Shachas. So everybody's in the same room, is Tami Tumasoyo. What if he's not in the same room? He's a Kohen and he stands outside, not allowed to be in the same room, but then they take the Mace out and he's very careful not to put his hand over the Oren. If he puts his hand over the Oren, it's Matami Ba'oyo. That's oil. He's mild on the Mace. What if he's careful, he stays away? So Rabbi Yechanan quotes in the name of Rabbi Lezer Ben Yankif, if he's standing within Dalet Amos of the Mace, we are machmir that he's tummy with the Rabbanan. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe he stretched his hand out. He can't stretch his hand out to 10 Amos. Huh? Yeah. Pretty far, yeah. Strange. How can it be? No one has such a long hand yet. So it must be called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there. I said, the Tikkun must be patterned after something there. I said, we'll have to see. So he made a chumrah mid Rabbanan. A lot of times a person won't realize it. I stretch my hand over here, and my hand ends over here, and the sefer is, let's say this is the mace. Sefer is over there. I'm not. But a lot of times I'll stretch my hand here, and I don't realize, I don't have perfect vision. So a lot of times I can't tell depth. So I can't tell that my hand is above the mace. I thought my hand is over here, not above the mace, and it's really above the mace. If you don't have full, perfect vision to see depth, so he made exerim and the rabbanan. Whenever you're within Dalet Amos to the mace, even though you don't think you put your hand directly over the mace, we're goizim and the rabbanan that you have a din of tumah. Are you asking on kasha? It's impossible. How can it be Dalet Amos? They should have said 1.5 Amos. How can it be Dalet Amos? So the answer is probably called the Tikkun Rabbanan came deraisa. Tikkun, there is a din deraisa that Dalet Amos around the mace is called Tfisas HaKever. When you get to what is it, din of Tfisa HaKever, the din is you're not allowed to bury a Jew next to a Nochri, a Tzaddik next to a Russia. So the Poskim say in Yerideya that Dalet Amos around the mace is called Tfisa HaKever. Sometimes the Gemara calls it Tfusa HaKever, sometimes the Gemara calls it Tfisa HaKever. Galatiana will say Tfisa HaKever.
Rabbi Shechter, you put a stone on the Metzayde. You metama yourself, no?
Okay, that'll be Tame, sure. Okay. The stone is also a Tumah. The stone has a din of Gerla V'dayfik, yeah.
So the Chacham used the same shear.
So the shear of Dalet Amos exists on the level of their eyes. So you're not supposed to have interlocking Tfisas HaKever. So if you bury a Jew and a Goy, you have to have a separation, a minimum of separation of 8 Amos. You can't have interlocking Tfisas HaKever. Or you have some other dinim deraisa that depend on Tfisas HaKever, Dalet Amos around the maze. So here called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there as a Tikkun. Would have made more sense to say that if you're within 2 Amos, or an Am and a half, how can you make such a Gzera 4 Amos? But the one, the Chappan Ashir, that existed already. So that's what the Gemara says. There's a din with the Rabbanan. The Kohanim are not allowed to stand within Dalet Amos of the Oren. When they take the Oren, when they're inside the building, of course the Kohanim are not allowed to go anywhere inside the building because that's Olam Shachar, because the ceiling continues to go. But even outside, even if the Kohanim will be careful not to put their arms above the mace, that's the din mid rabbanan. The Rabbi Lezer Yankov said that it's metami Dalet Amos around it, unless you have a wall mapsik. Let's say a kohen is walking in front of a funeral home, funeral chapel, and he knows that they have a mace right on the other side of the wall. So it's not shayach. Here's a wall. What, he's gonna put his hand through the wall? There's a wall there, mapsik. He can't put his hand through the wall. So the whole gzeira, the whole reason why a mace is metame Dalet Amos svivov is the gzeira he may by mistake be mahil. So if you have a wall that's mapsik, then it's not shayach. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah, this is a quote in Yerida. When the procession starts in the Kanyon, a lot of times they stand within Dalet Amos. So this is a din that they're not allowed to. That the mace is metame midirabanan. Called Sviban. Now the Gemara says, Vatana Tuna, the Gemara quotes, we have a Mishnah in Aholis where Taka, you can see from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yechanan's din and name Rabbi Lezer Yankim state in our Mishnah. You don't have to come on to Rabbi Lezer Yankim. Vatana Tuna, it's a Mishnah like that. And then the Gemara says, 10 lines down. Vahanamila Chotzer Akebel, the Messiah Mechitza, the Mez Bialmalo. If you have Messiah Mechitza, if you have a Mechitza Hamafsekis, then even though you're Tocht Al Ramis, there's no Tuma. But if it's no mechitza mapsekas, then it would be mitame. So that was the inference from the Mishnah. Whenever there's a wall mapsik, then toch Dalet Amos does not bother me. Whenever there's no wall mapsik, then it is mitame. So the Shach quotes all of this in the end of Yeridei by the Siman of Tumas Kohanim. The Kohanim have to be careful. Parshas Mishpatim, you have so many different mitzvahs, so many different dinim. So one of the dinim is, Elokim lo yisakalel v'nasi b'yamcha lo sa'or. You're not allowed to curse a nasi, lo sa'or, and Elokim lo yisakalel. How do you translate Elokim? So the Gemara has in two different places, two different levels of interpretation. Elokim loshen kodesh, you're not allowed to curse HaKodesh Baruch Hu. HaMegadifes Hashem is chayiv misa. And Ein Oinshim Elokim Asir, so where's the lav? So the Gemara says, this is the lav, Elokim lo yisakalel. Then the Gemara says, Elokim loshen chol, V'nikra balabais elhu Elohim. Elhu Elohim over there means the bezn. Asher Asher and Elohim. Yishalim shnaim l'reyehu. So it means a bezn, losh n'chol. So here also, Elohim l'sikalol, you should really pronounce it not Elohim. Elohim l'sikalol refers to dayonim. A dayonim has smicha. One who curses him is over an additional lot. If you curse anybody, call out the Yisrael, you're over alav, l'sikalol cherish. Means you're not even allowed to curse a deaf person who doesn't hear you cursing, and he doesn't get aggravated, doesn't take it to heart. Afilu cheirish, you're not allowed to curse. Any you curse Adam Yisrael, so you get malchus. Hamakal chaver b'shem is like it. And if the person that he's cursing happens to be a dayan who has smicha, then the Rambam quotes from the Mechilta, he gets double malchus. He gets malchus for this elokim laskal. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs counts this as two distinct mitzvahs. One is hamagadifes Hashem, and one is hamakal al dayan mi Yisrael. So the and then the Rambam counts the pasuk loisikal cheresh, that's in the middle of Vayikra and Kedoshim, loisikal cheresh, you're not even allowed to curse a deaf person who doesn't hear, who doesn't take it to heart. So the Rambam counts that twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Counts it once, you're not allowed to curse Adam Yisrael, and if you do, you get Malkus, and you're not allowed to curse your parents, and if you do, you get Misa. So the Ramban frekt on the Rambam, and the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvahs on the Rambam, the Halachas Gedolos wrote also Sefer HaMitzvahs. Before the Rambam was born, the Baal Halachas Gedolos wrote from the times of the Goyim, wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he counts Loisinov three times. You're not allowed to be Mizana with an Arusa, you're not allowed to be Mizana with an Isua, you're not allowed to be Mizana with a Baskoin. If you're Mizana with an Arusa, the punishment is Kilo. Mizana with an Isua, the punishment is Chenek. And a Baskoin Shezintza, her punishment is going to be Sreifa. So the Bahag says, obviously, the three different Averis, because the three different punishments. So that's why he counts the Pasuk, Loisinov, and Aseres Adibis, not to be Mizana with Hareish Yizish, counts it three times. So the Rama makes fun of the Halachas Gedolos. He said, just because you have different punishments, but it's the same law, not to be Mizana with Hareish Yizish. So just because you have different punishments is not a valid reason, not a good reason that you should count it three times. It's the exact same law. So the Ramban is, but the Rambam himself did that. He counts Elokim l'sakala twice. Once Hamakala l'sakodesh Baruch Hu, once Hamakala dines. One pasuk, and he counts it twice because they have a different punishment. Here it's Nisan, here Hamakala l'sakodesh Baruch Hu, Hamagadifes Hashem is Skilo. Hamakala dying is Malkus. And the same thing, l'sakala cheresh, Hamakala l'adam Yisrael is like it. Hamakala l'avivim is chayiv Nisan. So the Rambam counts it twice because it's a different punishment. So the Ramban asks, didn't the Rambam violate his own rule? That the Rambam was masik on the Bahag, that it doesn't make sense to count Lasinov three times because sometimes Kilo, sometimes Chenek, and sometimes Reifo, it's all the same love. So on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you have the Megillas Esther. It was written by a man whose mother's name was Esther, and she died as he was going to print, so he wanted to memorialize the mother. So he says he named it in memory of his mother Esther. So in the Megillas Esther, he quotes from one of the Achrenim who wrote a commentary from the Tashbates, Rashbates, who wrote a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he says, no, they're two different things. By the case of Loisinov, all of the three punishments are the death penalty. One is Skila, one is Sreif, and one is Chenik. But since it's all Miso, so the Rambam holds that's not a cause to count it as three different laws. But here, by Loisikal Cheresh, or the Kim Loskalol, sometimes you get Malka, sometimes you get Misa. And the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva that there are two categories of Averis. There are Averis Chamuris and Averis Kalos with an Afkamina Aloch Alamaisa. Averis Kalos, Aver that you get Malkus for. Averis Chamuris and Aver that you get Misa for. So what kind of an animal is this? Loisikal Cheresh, or the Kim Loskalol, is it from the Chamuris or is it from the Kalos? So the Rambam understood, whenever you have a lav, and the Gemara has a tradition, that sometimes he gets Malka, sometimes he gets Misa, you have to hold that the Torah Shebal Peh considers it two different lavim. One of them is an Issa Chomer, one of them is an Issa Kal. So that's why the Rambam counted these two. Then the Mishlei Melech points out there are another two. The Ramban only picked on these two. He says there are another two lavim also that the Rambam counts twice, even though it's the exact same pasuk. He counts it twice because sometimes Misa and sometimes Malchus. Whenever it's sometimes Misa, sometimes Malchus. So the Rambam holds the halach, the Torah Shebal Peh has a tradition that this is counted, this is a farechant as two Isurim. One is an Issa Chama, one is an Issa Kal.
What about an Asay, Rebbe? We need some of the Nafshu Asay, we have two levels. Asay.
I don't think you would count it twice.
There's a chorus of
sometimes you have chorus, sometimes
and so
not.
That
he doesn't count as two. He doesn't count, yeah. That's a good question. Why? That's a good question. Because the Rambam holds that Krisis and Mrs. Bezin is called Chamuris. So the other Inuyim, there's no Karis, only Karis and Achilas Shtiya. So why shouldn't you count that as two different?
Mechitza is not Karis. Mechitza.
Right. It could be the Rambam does count it as two. You got to look over there. I think the Rambam says that there's a Lav and Achilas Shtiya. So the Lav has Karis. And the Esei V'Nisem goes on the Chamisha Inuyim, there's no Karis. You got to look there. That's a good question. We got to look and maybe that it's correct. Maybe it is counted twice. Okay. Next week, I'm supposed to be going to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow night. And if not tomorrow night, I'm supposed to go on Thursday. So I assume that I probably will make it before Shabbos. So if everything goes well, I will not be in America at all next week for a whole week. But the week after, I'll be back. I'll be away for Shabbos Mishpatim and for Shabbos Truma. And then I'll be back the following
week.
Amen.
Yeah.
For the Bechinas? Good. For the Masminim program? Very good. Okay.
Any special things you should concentrate on?
We have the Dias Colombias, then we have...